Today's shiur in the daf yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim, daf Samach Ches. We're already halfway down by the two dots right in the middle of the daf. Samach Ches Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah is quoted. The Mishnah said, Umichui Karava V'chule, that you're allowed to do Michui, which we'll see two definitions of in the Gemara now, what exactly it means that you're allowed, whenever Pesach Cholios B'Shabbos comes out, you're allowed to go and get rid of the perish, the waste, the excrement that's inside the kirbayim, the intestines, because it would destroy the carbon pesach, it would make it very foul smelling if this excrement were to stay inside this, so we have to get rid of it. So we do michui kirovav. We're allowed to do this michui. So what exactly is this? Gemara says, my michui kirovav. What exactly does it mean to do this michui? So we have two possibilities. Rav Huna Amar, Shiminakvon Bisakin. Rav Huna says that you make a hole in the intestines with a knife, and as Rashi points out, Shiyet say hooray, so the excrement can come out. If you were to leave the excrement inside it, it's going to be foul smelling, it's going to destroy the carbon. Kodim Shetachshav, before it gets nightfall. What does the word michui mean? According to this pshat, Rav Huna's pshat, the loshen michui, shemotzi perish racho, the nimches besocha. You remove the soft excrement that's inside over there, where he uses a foreign language term, and it says it's similar to the word umemache b'shofech from Maisu Sheni. Ukmo himcheiv gamo. Likewise, we have earlier in the Masechta, it says that you go and dissolve it, you melt it, and then you can swallow it. That was dealing with chaleb. Alternatively, Lishnachrin, he says, Michui is a loshon nekiva, comes from a loshon of puncturing, the chibul, and destroying. Kamo timcha ezecher amolik. As we have in Parsha Zohar, so we have to eradicate, wipe out, we have to destroy amolik. That's the loshon over here of Michui. That's Rav Huna's pshat. We have Chia Barav, it says Rav, but Chia Barav is the son of Rav. Chia Barav says, Omar, his opinion is Shirka Dimeaya. It is Shirka. Rashi explains Shirka Dimeaya is Lecha Ha'aduka Mimeaya. This is the excrement that is stuck, it's attached to the intestinal inside walls. Shiyotzi Mehan Bedochak Besakin. You have to scrape it off the walls with a knife. And he gives a foreign language word for this as well. He says, this Michui is a Loshon Dover Bozui. It means something that is disgusting, something that is not very nice. And we'll see this in a pasuk in a moment. So this is Chia Barav's opinion, that it is this Shirko Dume Aya, it's this excrement that's attached, stuck to the walls of the intestines, the Novka, that will only come out, Agav Dochaka de Sakina, by scraping it with a knife, that's how you get it out. So these are the two definitions of Michui Karavov. Now, as I mentioned, we're going to bring down the Pasuk. So it says, Amar Rabbi Eliezer is the Girsa that we have. On the side, it says it should be the Girsa Rabbi Elazar. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, my taima dechia barav. What is the rationale for saying that it's this scraping off from the walls? That it is a lashon over here of a dover bozui. So he brings down a Pasuk from Yeshaya where it says, dechsev, the charvos mechem. Mechem is a play on the word michui. So the charvos of these mechem and the ruined fat people. Gorim Yochelu, the other people will eat them. Gerim will come and go and eat their stuff. So the people that live there, they're referred to as Mechim. So this Lashon of Mechim, they're bad people. So it means people that are Bozui. Therefore, that's where he gets the source for the word Michui Krovav, means to remove this excessive stuck-on waste. My mashva, exactly how do you see from this possible harvest mechim gorim yochelu? So, kidim targum Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef gave us the targum. Rav Yosef was blind, and he was an expert on targum because we have a rule that Torisha Bechsav, you're not supposed to learn by heart. So he would not learn the Torisha Bechsav. You're only supposed to read it from written down, but he was blind, so he was an expert on Targum. Targum, you can learn by heart. So we have throughout Shas, Kid the Metagim Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef gave us the Targum explanation, he says that Charvos Mechim is V'nichseyem D'Rishiyaya, the possessions of these Rishayim, these Mechim, Tzadikaya Yachsun. That's the Gerim are going to go and eat it. So therefore, this word, Charvos Mechim, is the Rishayim. It's a reference to the Rishayim, the ones that are bozui, the ones that are foul, like the excrement. Now, the beginning of the Pasuk says, V'ro kivosim kidovram. It says that the sheep over there are going to graze. This is called Malkla Yisrael, kidovram. What does the word kidovram mean? So, Amar Menashe, or Yirmiyah, Amar Rav, kimidubar bom, as it says about them. What does that mean? As it says about them, I kimedubar bam. So I'm rabbi. That's the end part of the pasuk. V'charvos meichem garm yochelu. It says that the rishayim are going to be eradicated. They're going to be destroyed, and then the tzaddikim will take over. That's what the first part of this pasuk is referring to. Kaisol v'ro kivasim kidavram, as the second part of the pasuk says. That's what Abai explains. Rava doesn't like this. Only Rava. Bishlama, that'd be fine if it wrote Iksiv Charvos, if it just said Charvos without the Vav. So then it would be a continuation of the previous words. What does it mean, Ro Kvasim Kidavram? It means Charvos Mechem Gorm Yochelu. Then you'd be 100% right. If it didn't have the connecting Vav, the and, so then you'd be right, Kidakamris. However, Hashduksiv Vicharvos, that implies it's a new thing. It's not just a continuation of the first part of the pasuk, v'ro kivosim kidavram, it shouldn't say and then. V'charvos milsachrisi kamar. So because it says v'charvos, it must mean something else. So therefore, Rav explains as follows. El Omer Rav, this is what we have to understand. The Rav Chananel Omer Rav, the way Rav Chananel said the name of Rav. The Omer Rav Chananel Omer Rav, Rav Chananel said the name of Rav, the following understanding. Asidin sadikim sheichayu esameisim. In the future, there'll be the Tchiyas HaMeisim that we all look forward to. And this will be done via the tzaddikim, because it says here in the beginning of the pasuk, "Sivhacha v'ro kivasim kidavram," the sheep will graze, as it says about them. And then it says, "Uksiv hasam," when it talks about the sheep grazing, it says, "Yiru bashan v'gilod kimei olam." It says that bashan and gilod will do this as they did it in the past, kimei olam. Now, what does this mean, bashan and gilod? So this is an allusion to two great tzaddikim that came from bashan and gilod. Bashan, this is a reference to Ze Elisha. Haba min HaBashan, Elisha came from Bashan. Elisha resuscitated the child. We'll see Elio did as well. These are the two resuscitations that we find in Tanakh. So Shenemar, V'yanai v'shofot b'Bashan. And Yanai and Shofot were in the Bashan. And we know that Elisha ben Shofot was there. As the apostle says, Uksiv, Po, Elisha ben Shofot, Asher Yotzek Mayim Ayde Elio. He was the servant of Elio. Elisha was a Talmud of Elio. Elio did Tchiyas HaMeisim. And Elisha did Tchiyas HaMeisim. It's interesting, who are these children that they did Tchiyas HaMeisim on? So the Midrashim tell us, according to some, that Eliyahu did resuscitation on Yonah, and Elisha did the resuscitation on Habakkuk. So there was a great children that were resuscitated in the two stories that we have on Eliyahu and Elisha doing Tchiyas HaMeisim. In any event, that's the reference. Bashan is a reference to Elisha doing Tchiyas HaMeisim, and Gilad is a reference to Eliyahu doing Tchiyas HaMeisim. Emar, Bayomer Eliyahu Atishbi, Mitoshave Gilad v'Gomer Eliyahu Atishbi, who came from Gilad, etc. v'Gomer. So therefore, this is a reference to these two great tzaddikim, and that will occur again in the future. Tzaddikim sheyichayu esameisim. Amar Bishmuel by Nachmeni, Amar Yonasan, a similar drasha is made. Asidim tzaddikim sheyichayu esameisim. In the future, the tzaddikim will also do tchiyas esameisim, based upon the following pasuk. So this pasuk from Zechariah, it tells us, Od Yeshu zekenim uzekenos berchovos Yerushalayim. There will be old men and old women that will be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim. The ish mishanto biyado merov yomim, and they're going to need a stick, a staff, to hold them up because of their old age. Now, that stick is the key reference here. Uksiv, v'samto mishanti apnei anar. Elisha told Gehazi, go put my stick over the child and do the resuscitation. Gehazi didn't do what he was told to do, and Elisha had to come and do the actual resuscitation. In any event, you see, this stick is the critical thing, that because they had this stick in their hands, these tzaddikim, these older people, the older men and women, they'll be the tzaddikim that will do this resuscitation in the future as well. Ula Rami, Ula has the following shaila. He says, Ksiv bila hamoves lenetzach. There's a famous statement that Nebuch we make at the end of Levayis, or the end of a person speaks. Often in Levayis, he says, this pasuk. Rashi explains this pasuk means, Yevula malach hamoves shlo yishlot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will swallow up the malach hamoves. He will no longer have shlita to go kill people. We look forward to that. We say that as a sign of a nechama at the conclusion of a hesped. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu should stop death from occurring. Bila hamoves lenetzach. Forever, Hashem should make death no longer occur. So, uksiv, it says in another pasuk, kenar b'mei hashana yomos. But it says in the future that children will be dying. And if somebody dies at 100 years old, he'll be called a nar, because people will live so long, but they won't live forever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not have eradicated, so to say, Maves, the Sartan, the Malach HaMaves will still kill people, albeit at a much, much later age. If somebody dies at 100, he'll be called a nar. So there seems to be a stira, Ula says. One, you say, Bila Maves. The other one, you say, people live a long time, but they're still going to die. So lo kasha, it's not a stira. Can be Yisrael. Yisrael bilam avos leatzach. Yisrael will no longer die. However, the kan ba'ovdei kochavim, the ovdei kochavim, they will live long lives, but they will die. Mari asks, ovdei kochavim, my boy Hasan, what are the ovdei kochavim doing over there? If they're ovdei kochavim, how come they're there? So Gemara says, no, they're going to be our servants. Tachsiv, the amdu zorim, the strangers, the ovdei kochavim will be there. The roads, okay, they'll take care of your flock. Ubnei nechor, ikor mechem. And they will also go and take care of your vineyards, and they will plow for you, your fields. So that's what they will be doing there for you. Another stira. Rav Chisda Rami says in one pasuk, siv, v'chofra halavona ubosha chama. Famous pasuk that says that the sun and the moon essentially will be embarrassed. Their light will no longer be there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reign, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his light will reign over everything. You won't need the sun and the moon. But then it says later in Yeshaya, Usiv, Voyor HaLevono Kiorachama. It says in those days, in the future, the moonlight will be just as bright as the sunlight. And in fact, the sunlight, Vorachama, Yeh Shivosayim, Kior Shivosayim. It will be Shivosayim, which means 7 times 7, as much as the light that it has now. And it will be 7 days worth of light, times 49 will be the brightness of the sun and the moon. So 7 times 7 times 7 adds up to be 343, as Rashi says. And therefore, the sun and the moon will be 343 times brighter than they are now. But how can you compare that when it says, V'chofra l'vonu b'osha chama, they won't have light? So Gemara says, V'chista says, lo kash, it's not a stira. Depends when. Kanli olam haba, kanli mosa mashiach. In Olam Haba, we won't need the light of the sun and the moon anymore. But in the days of Mashiach, then it will be much more powerful, the light, but we will need the light. Ul-Shmuel, and what about according to Shmuel? Da'amar, ein ben Olam Hazeh, limos ha-Mashiach, el-Shibah Malchus Bavad. According to Shmuel, says there will be no difference between what we'll describe as limos ha-Mashiach and Olam Hazeh, so there'll be no difference other than Shibud Malchus, that everybody will be subservient to Eretz Yisrael. So how can you tell me that the sun is going to change, the moon's going to change, Michael Meimar, what would Shmuel say? So Gemara says, no problem, even according to Shmuel, Edivili Olam Haba, then the reference to the sun growing 343 times and being the moon as strong as the sun, and then that there's no need for either of them, V'chofa Levon and Busha Chama, it's no problem. Edivili, both are talking about Olam Haba, not Yimos HaMashiach. And Lo Kashit is not a stira. It depends. The sun and the moon will not be needed in the Machne Shechina. The glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the only light that will be necessary. But in the Machne Tzadikim, then you'll have the expanded powers of the sun and the moon. That will be the 343 times as powerful sun and the moon. Another stira in Pesukim. Rava Rami. Rava says, Ksiv, it says in one Pasuk, Hashem is saying, Ani omis v'achaya. Hashem says, I will put people to death and I will make people alive. It says another pasuk, Kusiv, v'chatzdi, I will cause people to be wounded, v'ani erpa, but I will heal them. Now, hashto achuye mechaye, merapi lo kol shekein. Now, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can go bring people back to life, that's a much bigger thing than to say I can heal people that are alive. So, if you're telling me that Hashem is omis v'achaya, so then what's the chiddush to tell me v'chatzdi v'ani erpa? So Rava says, no, it's a Kiddush. El Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying over here is, Ma Shani Meimis, Ani Mechaya. That which I go and put to death, I will resuscitate that person. Kemoshe Mechatzdi, Vani Erpo. Just like I caused the wound to occur and I healed it, so too I will cause the person to die, and then I will make that person come back to life. That's the Kiddush. Just like I can heal a wound that I caused, I can actually make a person come back to life that I caused to die. Again, darshining this pasuk, ani omis v'achaya. So I might have thought this pasuk is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kills some people and then he lets other people live. Yochel, you might have thought, miso b'yechon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kills one person and then another person, v'chayim v'yechon, k'derek sholom noe, he causes another child to be born. This person dies and another child comes and takes this place, so to say. That's what you might have thought the pasuk means, ani omis v'chaya. No, Talmud Lomar, therefore the pasuk compares it, mochatzdi v'ani erpa. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is healing the person that he wounded, so too he's making alive the person that he killed. Ma ma'ako u'refuah b'yecha, just like you heal a wound on the same person that has the wound, you heal it, so to af misa, the person that dies, v'chayim, he will come alive, b'yecha, is the same person. And this is, in fact, the Gemara tells us, Mikan Tshuva, this is a wonderful answer to those people that say, La'omrim, ain't t'chias emesim in the Torah. Where do you find t'chias emesim in the Torah? Oh, this pasuk, ani amos v'chaya, mochatzti, v'ani erpa, that's the allusion, that's the reference to t'chias emesim in the Torah. Alternatively, dover acher, batchilo, ma'ash, ani meimis, ani mechaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, in the beginning, betchila, that which I put to death, I put a person to death, I will make him live. V'hadar, and afterwards, mashim achatzi v'ni'erpa, and only then, after I do tchiyas ha'meisim, will I heal the people. In other words, what the Gemara is saying, this dover acher, is that a person nebuch dies, let's say he's missing a leg. So, at Tchiyas HaMeisim, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu will resuscitate him, will bring him back to life, will do Tchiyas HaMeisim, but the guy will still be missing a leg. And only after he's brought back to life, then, Mechatzti V'ne'erpa, after that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of the wounds that he had caused and will heal them. So the order this is telling us is there will be Tchiyas HaMeisim, but everybody will come back. If they were deaf, they'll still be deaf. If they had a missing leg, they'll have a missing leg. Whatever they had beforehand, they'll come back still missing that. But then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will heal them afterwards. Now we turn to Samach Chesam Beis. When we quote the Mishnah, the Hector Chalava V'chule, we said that likewise a person is allowed to go and do the Haktaras of the Emurim of the Korban Pesach even on Erev Pesach Chol Yos B'Shabbos. It overrides the Shabbos prohibition, even though the Gemara says, as we'll see in a second, that it's not Ma'akev. If you were to burn the Emurim at night, that would be good. In fact, that's Tfilas Ma'ariv is Keneged, the Haktaras Evarim and Emurim. So technically you could burn it, not on Shabbos. And yet, because it's such a wonderful thing to go and burn the Emurim, it's such a great mitzvah, so we're even allowed to be Dochas Shabbos, even though it's not Ma'akev. Tanya, that's what the Braisa now tells us. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says, Borei, come and see, Kama Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, how dear it is to do a mitzvah in its proper time. The proper time for doing the Haktori is in the day that the carbon is brought. B'Di'evit, after the fact, if you didn't do it during the day, you could still do it at night. So, Rabbi Shimon is telling us, look how dear it is to do mitzvah at the right time. Because, Shari Hector, Chalav and Ve'evarim, the burning of the sacrificial fats, as well as the Evarim of a carbon Ola, and the Bedarim, the other sacrificial fats around the stomach. So all of these items that are supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach, Kishem Kol Lail, if you didn't do them during the day, you're allowed to go do them at night. Nevertheless, Bein Mamtin and Lehem Achet Hechshach, even on Shabbos, we don't wait till Motzei Shabbos, we're allowed to do the Haktar because one should do a mitzvah in the ideal way. And here, it is even allowed to go against the normal Shabbos prohibition, against burning these things. You're allowed to do the Haktar here. It's such a great mitzvah, b'shaita, to do it in the right time. That's what Rav Shimon brings down in this price. Now we quote the Mishnah, where it said there were certain other things that you weren't allowed to do, according to Rabbi Yoshua. As it said, you are allowed to do them. So some of these things were harkavoso, v'havaoso, v'chule. So we quote the Mishnah, which said that carrying the Korban Pesach through the streets on Shabbos to the Beis Hamikdash, Erev Pesach Chol Yos B'Shabbos, or the bringing it from outside the Tchum, or doing cutting off the Abeles, chatachas ha'yaveles, cutting off the warts, according to the Tanakhama, according to Rabbi Yoshua, you're not allowed to go and do that. And Rabbi Eleza said in the Mishnah, no, you are allowed to do that. That was the famous machlokas we had in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eleza and Rabbi Yoshua. Now the Gemara says, Raminu, but this Mishnah seems to go against another Mishnah in Erevin. We just learned it not that long ago. And the Mishnah in Erevin said, Chotchin Yabeles B'Mikdash. It said there that you are allowed to go and cut off a Yabeles, this wart, on the animal in the Beis HaMikdash. However, Avolo B'Medina. But you can't do this outside the Beis HaMikdash. You can only do this in the Beis HaMikdash area. Now, that was doing it with your hand. But the Mishnah in Erevin said, Vim Bechli, if you're going to use a utensil, you take a knife, Kan V'Kan Osir. Then, not only is it Osir in the Medina, but it's even Osir in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, it looks from here that we see that you are allowed to go and cut off without using a kli in the Mikdash. So how come the Tana of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yoshua, why did the Tana Kam and the Chacham, Rabbi Yoshua, say that you're not allowed to cut off the Yabeles? It seems in the Mishnah and Erevin you're allowed to. So we have several terutzim. The first terutz is Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Yossi, Bar Chanina. We have terutz, one from Rabbi Loza and one from Yossi, Bar Chanina. We don't know which one said which. Chad, Omar, one of them said, Idiv, Idiv, Yad. Our Mishnah and that Mishnah, the Mishnah in Erevin, are both talking about taking it with your hand. So, in the Mishnah in Erevin, it said you can't take it with your hand, and our Tana Kama and our Mishnah says you can't take it with your hand. How come there's a difference? Ha'belacha, ha'beyevesha, depends. If it's moist, that's our Mishnah, you're not allowed to go take it off with your hand. Ha'belacha, you can't remove it with your hand. You certainly can't remove it with a kli. And that Mishnah in Erevin, which said you can, that's talking about beyevesha. If it's dried up, you're allowed to remove it with your hand. Rashi explains, even though removing with your hand is only an issur d'rabbanan, so our Mishnah nevertheless says that it's asur according to the Tana Kama. Since you could have done it before Shabbos, so therefore, even things that are d'rabbanan, if you could have done them before Shabbos, efshur lasosam the Erev Shabbos, so then you have to do it Erev Shabbos, and it's also to do it on Shabbos. And as opposed to in Erevin, we're talking about with a dried up wort via Vesha, that's not even an Issa D'Rabbanan. And that's why it's allowed. So that's Teretz number one. Alternatively, the other one, either Rabbi Loz or Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina, said no. V'chadamar that idim idi belacha. Both the Mishnah in Erevin and our Mishnah here are both talking about a moist wort. Now, how come our Mishnah says it's not allowed, and the Mishnah there says it is allowed? Below kash, it's not a stira. Ha'biyad. The Mishnah in Erevin says you're doing it with your hand. And even a moist wort, you're allowed to do with your hand. And ha'bichli. And our Mishnah is talking about using a utensil, and you're not allowed to use it, take it off with a utensil. So therefore, there's no stira. So we have these two terutzim. One says that they're both talking about moist, the second teretz, and the Mishnah in Erevin is talking about with your hand, that's why it's allowed, and our Mishnah is talking about with a kli, and that's why it's not allowed. So, Ulaman Diomar, according to the second opinion, Ulaman Diomar, Hobiyad Hobikli, that the Mishnah in Erevin is talking about with your hand, and our Mishnah is talking about with a kli, that's why it's no good. My time, Alo Omar, why didn't this second teretz say the first teretz, Idiv Idiv Yad, that they're both talking about a yad, Belokasha Hobalacha Hobavyesha? Why didn't the second teretz give the first teretz? So the Gemara says, Amalach, because according to the second teretz, Yevesha Mifrach Pricha, a dry wort, a Yevesha wort, it can't be removed. It just crumbles. It's Pircha. It's a Pricha. It's going to fall away on its own. And therefore, it's not even called removing it, even with a Kli, it would be allowed. And therefore, that's why it didn't want to say Habalach or Habayevesha, because Yevesha is nothing, and you can even use a Kli for it. And therefore, the second teretz preferred to say Habiyad Habikli. They're both talking about lecha. Fine. Why didn't the first teretz say like the second teretz? Ulaman Dama Idiv Idiv Biyad. According to the first teretz, it said they're both talking about Biyad for Lokasha Habalach Habiyevesha. So why didn't this first teretz say the second teretz? My time Lo Amar Idiv Idiv Lacha. They're both talking about that they're moist. Velokasha, and there's no problem because Habiyad Habikli. Why didn't the first teretz give the second teretz? So it says, again, Amalok, no problem. Kli ha-ketani hasa, because it says they're a kli. In b'kli, kan v'kan aser. In the Mishnah in Erevin, it said you can't use a kli no matter what. So therefore, our Mishnah can't be discussing taking it off with a kli, because the Mishnah in Erevin said clearly with a kli you're not allowed to do it. So therefore, the first teretz prefers to say that they're both talking about yad and ha-belacha ha-bi-yevesha. Now, this is such a good teretz. V'idach, how would the second man the Yomer respond to this? That's why the first man the Yomer didn't want to say the second man the Yomer, because it said Habakli Kan V'Kan is Osir. It's no good whether in Medina or outside the base of Mikdash. So V'idach, what would he respond to that? So Gemara says Ha Diktani Kli Hacha. Why does it have to say again here a Kli is no good? Plucks of the Rebbe Lezer Yeshua also Shemina, because here it wants to tell us that there's a machlokus on this between Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Yeshua. So therefore, our Mishnah tells us that its aser is to teach us that Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. And even though we said in Erevin that everybody says a kli is no good, that's not everybody. That's not Rabbi Eliezer. Now, our Mishnah said, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Umayim Shchita v'chule. We had our whole shock of attire in the Mishnah where Rabbi Eliezer responded to the Tanakhama and said, no, if you're allowed to do the Shchita of the Korban Pesach, which is an Issa D'Oraisa, so certainly you should be allowed to do an Issa D'Rabbanan. No, we never gave the answer for Rabbi Yeshua. What did Rabbi Yeshua respond to that? So in our Mishnah, he didn't respond. And now we see what Rabbi Yeshua responded. Rabbi Yeshua would respond to that argument with his following. Rabbi Yeshua Taimei, he says, the Omar, Simchas Yontov Nami Mitzvi. He says that Simcha and Yontov is also a mitzvah. And nevertheless, if it was Efshel Asoso Mibo Yom, if you could do it before Yontov, so even though it's a mitzvah, you have to do it before Yontov. So that's Rabbi Yeshua's answer. So just because you can do the Shechita, that's because the shchita is the efshar to do it the day before. The shchita must be done in your dalet. But anything that could be done on your gimel, anything that could be done before Shabbos, Erev Pesach Chol Yos B'Shabbos, so then it must be done beforehand, even if it's a mitzvah. And we see that this is a famous machlokas between Yeshua and Rebbe Eliezer, the Tanya. We learned in a brisa. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Ein Loli Odom B'Yom Tov, Ela O Ocha V'Shoseh, O Yoshev V'Shoneh. A person on Yom Tov has to do one of two things. Either it's Kulo Lashem, or it's Kulo La'odam. It has to be either something you spend the whole day serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the Yontif is a day that you pleasure yourself. So either you eat and drink all day, or Yoshev Shona all day. But you don't do both. That's what Elazar's opinion. He doesn't hold Chati Lachem, Chati Lashem. He says either Kulo Lachem or Kulo Lashem. Rabbi Shu disagrees. Rabbi Shu Omer Chakei, he says you split the yontif up. Chetzu lachil l'shia, half the day of yontif you get to eat and drink. Chetzu l'beis hamedrash, and half the day you learn Torah. Half the day you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, where do they get their two shitas from? Rabbi Leza says either all Hashem or all for yourself, and Rabbi Yeshua says half and half. So it's all based upon the same pasuk. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushnan Mikra Echadoshu. They both dash in the following pasuk, each to their own shitas. Because of Echad Omer, one pasuk says, Atzeres Lashem Elokecha, that the yontif should be for you a atzeres to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, that it's Kula Lashem. And the other pasuk, Because of Echad Omer, Atzeres Yelochem. No, the yontif will be for you. So which one is it? So Rabbi Leza Sabar, either this or that. O kula Hashem, O kula lechem. That's the way Rabbi Leza dashes into psukim. The psukim are giving you a field of choice. Either totally serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sit all day and learn, or if you want, you can enjoy this day as a day for yourself. Either kula Hashem or kula lechem. As opposed to Rabbi Yeshua Sabar, it's a mixture, a combination. Chalkeyu, split it in half. Chetzu Hashem, v'chetzu lechem. Do half for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and half for yourself. Now, we have a simon over here. Avam simon. The ayin will see will stand for Atzeres, the beis will stand for Shabbos, and the mem will stand for Purim. It's an interesting mnemonic. The first letter of the first of the mnemonic is for the first letter of the word Atzeres. The second letter of the mnemonic is for the middle letter of the word Shabbos, and the last letter of the mnemonic, the mem, is for the last word letter of the word Purim. In any event, interesting mnemonic. Amar Belazar, Belazar explains as follows. Ha-komodim b'atzeres, both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar, everybody agrees in the situation of atzeres, of shavuos. Atzeres always means shavuos. Deboinu nami lochem. Here, even Rabbi Elazar holds it must be chatzi lochem, chatzi lashem. Deboinu nami lochem. You have to have some component of shavuos for yourself. Why? My time up. Because this is the day that the Torah was given. Yom shenit no bo Torahu. And therefore, if we didn't celebrate in some way with Ochel Umashke, if we didn't have a Gashmias component to it, then it would look like we were saying, we're not happy with it. Okay, we do what Hashem wants, but we're not happy with it. By making it into a day of physical pleasure, Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lochem, so then we're demonstrating that the Chatzi Lashem is really something that we're very happy with. And therefore, Bedavka, even Rabbi Leza says that on Atzeres, that you also have to go and have a component that is lochem. That's the baitaima, Yom Shadit Batoru. Amar Rabba says, Hakomod Mishabiz the Bina Nami Lochem. Likewise, on Shabbos, that's the second part of the mnemonic, the Bay's Shabbos. So Rabba says that everybody agrees that Shabbos also has to have a component lochem. Why is that? My timer. Because it says, with Karosul, Shabbos Onik. Shabbos has to be an Onik. You have to have Onik Shabbos. So that explains Shabbos. And the third part, the Purim, Amar Rav Yosef, Hakomodu Bepurim, Dabinu Namu Lechem. Purim also has to have a component for yourself. Why is that? My timer. Because it says in the Megillah, Yimei Mishta V'Simcha. It says it has to be the day of Mishta, the day of Simcha. So Simcha is the Torah, and Mishta is the physical Gashmias type of pleasure. So therefore, these three, Atzeres, Shavuos, Shabbos, and Purim have to have a component. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, they have to have a component of Chatzi Lochem, Chatzi Lashem. Now, Mar Bereid Ravina, Kula Shata V'Yosef B'Tanisa. Mar Bereid Ravina, the son of Ravina, he fasted every day of the year, with the exception, Levar Me'atzarta, from Shavuos, Upurya, and Purim, Umale Yom Kippur, and Erev Yom Kippur. These 3 days he didn't fast. Why? Atzeres, he didn't fast on Shavuos because Yom Shenit Nabo Torah. As we explained, it's the day that the Torah is given. You have to demonstrate you're so happy that the Torah is given by having a physical pleasure. On Purim, he didn't fast. Purya, because of the Pasuk, Yimei Mishta V'Simcha Ksiv, as we pointed out before. And why didn't he fast on Male Yom Kippure? This we didn't have before. This is new. Why didn't he fast on Erev Yom Kippur? Because of the famous drasha. The Toni Chiyah Barav Mimdifti. Because Chiyah Barav, from Difti, Rav Midifti, learned the following brisa. It says, V'inisem es nafshosechem b'tisha l'chodesh. It says that you should afflict yourself on the ninth day of the month of Tishrei. Now, wait a second. V'chi b'tisha hei misanim, do we fast on the ninth day of the month? No, v'halo b'siri misanim, we fast on Yom Kippur, on the tenth day of the month. So why is the pasuk telling us, V'inisem es nafshosechem b'tisha l'chodesh? How does that work? So the Gemara says, the famous answer, Elohim Alok, the Brisa tells us, Kol Ocha V'Shosa B'Tisha Bo, anybody that goes and eats and drinks on the ninth day of the month of Tishrei, it's as if, Mala Alok HaKosav, as if that person had fulfilled, Kilu Misana Chi Vasir, it's as if he fasted on the ninth and the tenth day. It's a mitzvah to eat on the ninth day, and that mitzvah is so to say, as if you, if you do that mitzvah, it's as if you fasted on the ninth day. That's what the pasuk means. So therefore, Ma'abarid Ravina, who fasted all year, he was a real tzaddik, he was a real chassid, so nevertheless, he would eat on those 3 days, on Atzeres, on Purim, and on Erev Yom Kippur. Rav Yosef, B'yom Adiatzar to Omar, Rav Yosef, on Shavuos, when was Matan Torah, so he would say, Avdili Igla Tilsa, go bring for me this special Igla Tilsa. We've had many times in the Gemara this expression, this Igla Tilsa. It either means, Rashi points out over here, Shlishala Beten, the third-born child, Umuvcharu, so this third-born child somehow is tastier and better. On the side, it brings down Rashi elsewhere, where Rashi brings down different Pshatim. Other Pshatim are given that this is a third of its maturity, it's raised to a third. Other explanations are given. In any event, this was a very high quality type of meat. So Rav Yossi said on Atzeres, on the day that the Torah is given, please bring me this very, very great filet mignon, this excellent steak. Amar, the reason why he said it is as follows. Ilo hayoma the kogarim, if it wasn't for this day that caused me to learn Torah, in other words, because of Matan Torah, kama Yosef Ika Beshuka, how would I be different than any of the other many Yosefs? How would I be any different than any other Joe in the street? Kama Yosef, Ika Beshuka. There'd be many, many people with my name. But I've differentiated myself because I learned Torah. So therefore, because of this day of Shavuos, when the Torah was given, so therefore I'm Zocha to be Rav Yosef, rather than just a common Joe in the Shuk. The Ben Yoyada adds over here, the Igla Tilsa represents the Shlosha Shimei Hagbola, this idea that a person has to prepare himself for learning Torah, the Shloshes Me'agbala, that he represented with the Igla Tilsa. Gemara continues and says, Rav Sheshes, every 30 days, called Klosin Yomin Mahadilei Talmudei, he would chazer over all of his learning every 30 days. V'toli, and he would do so while he was V'koi B'ivra D'dosha. This is like a deadbolt that you have on the door that keeps the door locked. So he would do this by the Dafka, the Ivra D'dosha. He would do and say the following, Omar, Chadai Navshoi, Chadai Navshoi. Rashi says, Simchi Navshi, be happy, my soul, be happy, my soul. And then he added, L'cho Kirai, L'cho Tinoi, because of you, Rashi says, Bishvilcho, Ulutzorcho, Shanisi, Vikarisi. Because of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bishvilcho, Ulutzorcho, and for your needs, so to say, Kaviyochol, that's why Shanisi, why I learned Vikarisi, and I learned Torah. The Ben Yod explains that the Ivr D'dasha is something that, if it wasn't for the Ivra D'dasha, it would be very, very difficult to open the door. And this bolt on the door allows even a small child to be able to go and open up the door. So this is telling us here that anybody can go and learn Torah, and that's why Ibadavki did it by the Ivra D'dasha. Gemara says, really, though, is what Rav Sheshes said true? That it's only for Chadai Nafshai, it's only for his own personal happiness? Ini, is this so? Amar Rabbi Elazar, says, Imali Torah lo niskaimu shamayim v'aretz. If it wasn't for the fact that people learning Torah, the world couldn't exist. The shamayim and aretz would not be able to be in existence. Shenema, the pasuk says, Imlo brisi yom v'layil. If it wasn't for the fact that we have this bris, the Torah, that people learn day and night, chuko shamayim v'aretz lo samti, then the world wouldn't be able to stand. The shamayim v'aretz wouldn't be able to be in place. So why is Rav Sheshes saying, Chadoi nafshai, it's only for me? So the Gemara says, no, Meikara, Kiyovin Inish, Adaita de Navshe Kovit. Because this is the way it starts. A person learns, he learns for himself. And only afterwards does it really take effect, so to say. And then that Torah learning supports the whole world. On Ravashi, Ravashi says, Ulamai de Kama Rabbi Eliezer, Nami Yom Tov Rishus. And even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that even things that aren't obligatory to be done on Yontif, it's Doche Yontif. So Isle Pircha, even according to that, you still have a problem. Because Rishua said, Uma Yom Tov Shehitir Bo Melachos Shel Rishus. On Yontif, when you're allowed to do Melachos that aren't Chiyuvim, you're allowed to go cook, for example. You're allowed to do certain types of Melacha, Lohitir Shvur Shima, but they didn't allow you to do something that could be done after Lasosu Mibod Yom. So certainly on Shabbos, Shlohitir Bo El Melachos Shemitzvah. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do various malachas for Rishus. You're only allowed to do malacha, for example, Nukshachti and Karban Pesach. So certainly, Rabbi Yeshua is telling Rabbi Eliezer, Eino din shelo tati Yeshua Shima. So certainly you can't do a Shus. It's not obligatory. A Shus that could be done, Avshalas also Milo Yom, certainly shouldn't be able to be done on Erev Pesach Shcholios B'Shabbos. No, what does Rabbi Eliezer say to that? We turn to Samach Tesamur Aleph. Rabbi Eliezer, he would respond and say, Shvus de mitzvah or deflay. No, you're dealing here with a Shvus for a Dvar mitzvah, to do the Karban Pesach, so that's different than saying that on Yontif, if you can't do something that you could have done before Yontif, you're not allowed to do it on Yontif. That's because it's not a Dvar mitzvah. But here it's a Dvar mitzvah, so therefore it's allowed. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Yeshua, Uma li imdochu machshir mitzvah shliach shchita es haShabbos, the Yisavid le mitzvah. If, for example, on Shabbos, after you shech to Karban Pesach, you're allowed to go do certain things. So even though the mitzvah was done, you're allowed to do certain things. So, example, you're allowed to do the michoy. So lo yitchu machshir mitzvah shlifnei shchita es haShabbos. So certainly, the machshir mitzvah that are done before the Shechita, certainly you're allowed to be done. If after the Shechita, when the mitzvah is performed, you're still allowed to do certain things, so certainly before the Shechita is performed, you should be allowed to do certain things. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer tells to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Akiva, however, responds, Amar Rabbi Akiva, he said, no, Demali, that's not correct. Im dochu machshira mitzvah sheli achas shchita Shabbos. No, the fact that something that is done after the Shechita is allowed, shari dochas the Shechita Shabbos, that's because you did the Shechita already, as opposed to, should you say, Tomar, would you be allowed to suggest, Yitchu machshir mitzvah shelifnei shchita Shabbos? So should something that you do before the Shechita, that shouldn't be able to be dochid, shelo dochas shchita Shabbos. At that point in time, you haven't yet done the Shechita. So you shouldn't be allowed to do this machshire, because, first of all, maybe you won't do the Shechita, something will come up, and you won't even do the Shechita. So just because you're allowed to do something after the Shechita, that's because you already did the Shechita. That doesn't mean that you should be allowed to do something before the Shechita, because it's only the Shechita that allows you to do the things after the Shechita. If you haven't done the Shechita, you can't do the things before the Shechita. That's number one. Number two, Dover Acher, a second reason why this should be not allowed is Shema Yimotzi Zevach Pasul. Because let's say you did the Karban Pesach, and then you found out something was Pasul in it. The Nimtza, in retrospect, Mechala Letzah Shabbos Mafreya. Everything that you did before the Shechita is now totally unnecessary. Once you do the Shechita and you see it was a good Karban, so then you can do the things after the Shechita. No problem. It was a good Shechita. But if you allow things to be done before the Shechita that were able to be done before Shabbos, Efshalas also be Bod Yom, so then if the Shechita turns out not to be good, you've done all those things unnecessarily. And in retrospect, Nimtza Mechala Letzah Shabbos Mafreya. Now, Gemara says, if that's true, wait a second, Ihachi, so then Mishchat Namin El Nishchat, then how are you allowed to do the Shechita? Maybe Shema Yimotzi Zevach Pasul, Venim Sebechal El Seshavos Mafreya, even the Shechita would be no good. So how can you say that you can do the Shechita? So Gemara says, no, you're right. Elo, that's actually what Rabbi Kiva first said. Elo Horma Lebe Reisha. Rabbi Kiva first said, maybe you shouldn't be allowed to do the Shechita, because you'll find out that the Shechita was Pasul, and it'll be Nimtza Mechal El Seshavos Mafreya. That's what he said. Uparche. And Rabbi Eliezer said, that's not right. And then, only afterwards, v'hadar melei, hach demali imdochu. And only afterwards, Rabbi Kiva say, okay, so that works out for things that are done after the Shechita, when it's no longer a concern, shema nimtza, yibatzi zevach pasul, v'nimtza b'chal seshavos mafreya. So that doesn't apply after the Shechita was done. But it still would apply, even before the Shechita was done, for those things that were efshar lasoso mibod yom. So this brisa filled in a lot of the discussion between Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Eliezer. With this, we conclude today's shiur.